I've never done so much talking for a long time, since I used to do, what we used to call the crusades, multiple meetings. We used to have meetings a couple times a day for a number of days, and by the end of the fifth day, my throat will be so hoarse. Can I have some water? Thank you. So how many people are ready for baptism today? There is the tank. We have the water. I'm not kidding. We can do that right after service. Any of you girls want to take a baptism? The other will do it. Yeah. When we have, we'll do the baptism real soon, maybe this month. Last week I said something prophetically. I says, last Sunday I'm sitting here doing the live stream, and I said, you know, next week we could be in service, and here we are. Yes. Amen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen, right? Yes. Praise God. And you're here. I don't know, my arms are getting shorter or what? Or getting longer. Praise God. Anyway, so happy that you come today to worship with us and to have service. We're thankful for the opportunities God has given us. During this time, it's been very, there's so many feelings we've gone through. How many people went through a array of feelings during this time? You know, you don't know what's going to happen next. You want to get out, you're bored. I want to go drive down the road. And I want to travel. I want to go to the States. We're being prevented from going across the border because we want to go to camp meeting. It's going to be 20 years. Is it 20 years? May 19th. Yeah, it's been May 19th. My wife and I, it's been 20 years that we graduated Rhema Bible Training College in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So 20 years have gone by. We finished school. The Lord says, come back to Thunder Bay and plant a church called Faith City Church. That by revelation knowledge, and God gave me that word, and we came here and started the ministry. It was so discouraging the day we got back, and we had an invasion when we came back to church. While we were gone, the church split. People were scattered. People left the church. People went with another gang. I came home. We had 29 people on service Sunday morning. Didn't have very many people there, all the leaders, lost a little. I'm really surprised, I told my wife, how the devil deceives people. We had 29 people, a lot of our top leaders left, went away from us. And people can be fickle unless you actually know what God's called you to do. And people will be moved with different things. So some people didn't think I'd come back. Other people said, where is he? We don't know where this Moses went to. And he's gone and never came back. So we were discouraged, nevertheless to say. We're worshiping Sunday morning. It was very, very difficult for us. I'm telling you, it was hard to get up Sunday morning and come to church to start the ministry because people were gone. But I had a word, and the Lord said, start a church, start a brand new church, start a new ministry. So we started a brand new ministry. It's been 20 years since we started Faith City Church. And we've done different things. Now we have a Bible school. We're on full-time television across the nation. We're doing a number of things. We're raising up leaders. We have leadership training every month. So different things are going on. We really, really appreciate the support. But the Lord, the thing about the Lord, the people came back after they began to... God spoke to the people. People started coming back. So I want to thank God for putting things together. But 20 years have gone by. It'll be 30 years, my wife and I, this September. I think it's October 1991, I think it was, or 1990. We came back. I went to school in Manitoba. I went to U of M. Pursuing my career as a professor. I wanted to be a full-time professor, teach at the college, university for my full-time work. And I had desire to teach, but not what I'm doing now. And but you know, it's funny that the gifting that's inside of you, hey, you're disturbing my service. Everybody's looking at you. And I want their eyes on me. Attention on me. Go sit down. Your kids, eh? They do everything, anything. So anyway, I don't know. So you try to, you know, the Lord puts things together, and when He does something, He'll do it good. So I thank God for all the thing. And so that young man that you saw here, he came. God bless him. His family. Now they have, how many kids you got? 16 kids since he got. They're making all kinds of kids. They're running around. They're growing the church themselves. You got a full-time ministry. And they made 4 kids now. Is it 5 coming up? No, it's 4. Okay, sorry about that. So Pastor Ken and him were racing who's going to make the most kids. But Cindy said, no more. No more. So they have 4 kids as well. We thank God for them. And so we only can go to 2. So we're too busy. So, in fact, my wife is actually pregnant right now. She's going to be 60 pretty soon. Another Sarah. It's getting very, very, very old. Can you say old? You're the only one that's not laughing about that. Okay, let's go to our Bibles. And I'm not afraid of running out of time because there's no third service. So, so I notice a lot of people choose not to come back, but we forgive you, and you come back when you're ready. Some people have other plans. Some people are jogging, camping. I'm not mentioning any names, but it's been good. So anyway, we want to talk to you today about how to win against a discouraged heart. And of course, our topic is in lifestyle of a believer. And our text is found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse 6, I'm reading the King James Version. I'll be reading New Living and a couple of other versions just to give some clarity on it. And I don't always use one version of the Bible. I use the King James mainly. And from that, I derive different things. I look at different helps to get background of different things. So I don't always use, you know, New International or, New Living, the Good News Bible, because it takes away words and leaves a lot of stuff out. And so you can't just read those kind of verses because a lot of it is paraphrased and leave a lot of stuff out. So as a good student of the Bible, I like to stick with the main thing, and that's the King James Version or New King James. But I want to tell you this because reading other versions will help you understand in our language different things. So but don't always count on the whole thing because you have to check out a version to see because something's left out. So anyway, I'll be using different other versions as well. So let's go read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, how to win against a discouraged heart. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want you to notice something. I just picked that up because you might be a dad or might be a mom. Some of you might be watching. It says that David and the people were discouraged because they were grieved because of their sons and daughters. Sometimes we could have discouragement in family. Things happen to our family. Someone might die. Someone might get sick. Someone might be given to drugs and they're out of fellowship, out of your home, and things happen to people, and they're taken away. The Bible says the enemy came to Ziklag, the camp where David and them were, and the enemy came to their place, their house, and took away the kids, all of moms and children and everything else. And, you know, as a parent, it's very discouraging when that happens. When the devil comes to your house and attacks you, And some of us are saying now, hey, what is it? I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm spirit-filled. I'm a faith person. This shouldn't be happening to me. And it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a Christian or not, and how dedicated you are to God, you will experience trials and troubles in this life. David, this man David we're talking about, he wrote in Psalm 34 when he was in a cave. You know, David wrote 70 psalms. I'm not sure how many. I think there's 170 psalms, or I can't remember how many psalms there are now. But he wrote 70, wrote a majority of the psalms. And in Psalm 34, he says that, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And no matter what happens, he learned something. Over in verse 34 of that same book, Psalm 34, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. Well, I don't know, you have to believe that. Whatever your trouble you're in, you're going to have to choose to believe that's the truth. You have to believe that's the truth of the Word of God, that what you're going through right now, the Lord will deliver you from it all. So you have to be able to go to that, because accept that as God's truth. As an introduction, I want to mention that we are in a faith fight. Doesn't matter if you don't want to be in it at all, you're in it. Just because you're a Christian. Paul mentioned to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith there. Now there are evil spirits, demons or devils, if you want to call them, trying to take you down, trying to discourage you. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's his motto operandi. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But it's going to be up to you whether you stand against the enemy that will try to steal from you, kill your family, destroy what you have. We all come up against difficulties at times. They seem to come in waves. Can be very discouraging. You know, in the Old Testament, as we just read there, David, we mentioned his psalm, we saw his experience in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David knew what to do when he encountered battles. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. What does it mean to encourage yourself in the Lord? Like David, we need to go to the Word of God with all our discouragements. It's what you should do in a time of great trials. So, what should we do when we have a discouraging spirit on us? What do we do? Well, let's look at the Word of God. What is discouragement anyway? You can find this in the Bible. You can find this in any dictionary. The word discouragement means a loss of confidence. You know, when you're going through piles of trouble, you can lose confidence serving God. You can lose confidence in going to church. You can lose confidence in praising God. You can lose confidence in giving money. You can lose confidence in serving God because you got trial after trial coming to you. Does anybody can relate to that this morning? Huh? Well, seven people. I can count them all. The rest of you, thank God that you never had this. Amen. So, discouraged means a loss of confidence. It means a loss of enthusiasm. I mentioned the word enthusiasm. I guess entho means into God. You know, you could lose your ability to be in God and the things of God when you're discouraged. You lose confidence of serving God or being, you know, when you talk about serving God, I just mean being a Christian sometimes. Like some of you guys, maybe you don't serve in the church. You serve yourself or you serve somebody else, you know, regularly. Some of you serve different places. Some of you serve in a bar. Maybe, I don't know. I hope not. You're serving somewhere. You know, the old song goes, Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. So you're serving somebody somewhere, but you might as well serve God. So you're discouraged means you lost enthusiasm, you're depressed, a feeling of dispiritedness, disheartened and gloomy. So you walk around feeling gloom and doom over you. And you can walk like this for days, weeks, years, and not really understanding that there is a spirit of gloom over you. Continual oppression of the enemy because you've had trials. When I got born again, something opened up for me. I noticed when I got born again, light came to me. When I got born again, depression lifted away from me. I was delivered from depression when I got born again. The Bible says in Matthew 4:16 that the people who were in darkness and chains in the prison, they saw a great light. You know, there's a song called "I Saw the Light." How many people remember that? I don't know, some of you might remember that. That's three people, getting smaller. But "I saw the light, I saw the light." Remember the song? Well, that's not the tune, but it goes like that. I can't just pick it up. Give me an E chord. Not an acorn, an A chord. I like to sing real low. You know, I always say, tell my daughter I want to sing with her. I want to sing in the background. She never doesn't let me. I'm going to sing backup. I said, one of these days, I'm going to sing backup to her. But she doesn't believe it. She says, go way back. Go way back. Anyway. And so you know, David there was oppressed, and people can be oppressed. But the Bible says in spite of being oppressed, we have the same spirit that David had. And that is, he says here, although he might be discouraged, disheartened, depressed, feel gloomy, but down on the inside of us, in our spirit, we have a different spirit than what our soul has been experiencing. Man is made of three parts. We are a physical body. That's not the real you. The real you, you know, we dress up our bodies and all that, comb our hair, you know, scrub ourselves, file our nails. I haven't filed my nails for a long time, but my toenails need to be filed because my wife said I'm shredding all her new linen. Turn around at night. Gotta buy new linen every week. He said, this has to stop. Go to the store and buy these things called clippers. Instead, you get a picture of what they look like. I want to see your toenails right after this. I think you're laughing too much, man. I tell you. That's why she doesn't wear socks, because she destroyed every pair of socks you ever had. So although we might feel oppressed, I'll say it one more time. Although we might feel oppressed, deep down on the inside of you, you have a different spirit. In the New Testament over here, in, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says that we have the same spirit of faith, Paul says, speaking about David. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So the spirit of faith is inside of us. And the way the spirit of faith works is believing something. When we believe something, we consider something is true. When you believe something, you consider something as true. And you receive that in your heart. That's true. Dabwe. We say dabwe. That's true. Right? My Cree woman friend, right, my cousin, she's my third cousin. She doesn't want to let anybody know that. But, you know, on the inside of you, you have that spirit. So You accept something as truth. If you do that, you must release it out of your mouth. Whatever you believe, now whatever you say, you can tell what people believe by what they say. That's how it is. It's also expressed in action. What you believe is expressed in the way you behave, your actions. If you say, you love me, you don't love me. Why? You never do anything for me. Well, not just say, you don't just say, I love you, you know, 16 years ago. I said, I love you once. No, you say it regularly. You tell people you love them, right, guys? So that's what it is. He said, therefore, we say this. So we have the same spirit of faith. Verse 14 says, knowing that which he that which raises up the Lord Jesus shall also raise up also by Jesus and shall present you with us. For all things are for your sakes. And the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. The word redound means it sent back in waves back. What is grace anyway? The grace, he's talking about the abundant grace God has given us. We have this grace. Grace is the ability or God's ability working in us and for us. When we can't do anything for ourselves, God's grace will help us to overcome during a hard time, like a discouraging time. How do you stand when discouragement comes anyway? Things we suffer here right now is very short. Paul says, very short. When we suffer through times, different times, we need to learn how to give thanks and praise and worship God when we're having a hard time. You know, I remember having a hard time when I was addicted, had an addiction problem. And I went to a treatment center. I went to groups to get help. I had a sponsor, had spiritual advisors. When I was going to school early in my life, I would get so discouraged. I'm ready to quit. I want to go back out there. And I would suffer anxiety. I don't know if you understand. I had post-traumatic syndrome, post-traumatic anxiety. I had a problem with anxiety. And I remember that didn't go away just because I quit drinking or because I went using drugs or smoking. It didn't go away. You know how many people know that these things don't go away unless you talk about it? The only way to get rid of junk is to talk about it. Everybody say, talk about it. That's the way you release something. That's how you get healed, is you talk about it. You talk to somebody about your issue. That's the only way you get healed, is tell somebody. And so I had this problem, and I would phone my sponsor. I said, I was suffering with fear and anxiety, and I phoned the sponsor, and he said to me, just count your blessings, and go to a meeting and help somebody. I said, what kind of an answer is that? I'm suffering. I'm dying right now. That's in my mind. And so I didn't understand what they say is that we need to have a different kind of attitude when we're going through trials. So how many people know that when you're going through a hard time, you shift your attention to somebody else, you don't seem to have that much difficulty when you see somebody else. And so the devil will attack you, but it's going to be temporary. And he'll keep trying until he gets you down. And you'll feel despondent, and you're in despair where you feel, I can't do anything more. You get discouraged, and you get to a place where you're despondent, and you're in despair, where you feel that you can't help yourself anymore. And so you give up. You get to the level, there's levels of discouragement. The Apostle Luke, in chapter 4, verse 13, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when the devil had ended and completed the cycle of temptation, he temporarily left him, that is Jesus. That is, he stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time. See, the devil is going to wait for a favorable time to attack you. Like, you might not be attacked right now, Maybe the attack has subsided a bit, but he's going to try to come back and try to attack you. Like, I'm not. That's not to make you fearful, but that's to make you be aware of it so that you're going to understand that I'm not going to give up. I'm going to fight him back. He's going to get one of these and these and these with the Word of God that comes around here. So you have to use the Word and fight like a girl. I heard that term. I like it. You know, you got to fight back. If you're going to do anything in this life, you're going to have to learn to fight back. That's why it says, fight the good fight of faith. If you're not a fighter, you're going to die. You're going to go down. You got to be a fighter. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a fighter.
I'm a fighter.
Well, don't start fighting right away. Here's what Peter said. Verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. We'll start from verse 6. Is that verse 6? Casting all your cares upon him? Is that verse 6? That's verse 7. Somebody has been messing with my notes here. I think the devil got into them. It's always easy to blame the devil, eh? Casting all your care upon him. You know, that's cares. The Amplified says, casting all your cares, your worries, your anxieties. People always talk about, they tell me, my anxieties are getting worse. Your anxieties? You own those anxieties? You better get rid of those anxieties. Because they'll take care of you. They'll put you in the grave. Many people are messed up because of anxieties. Casting them on the Lord, it says, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. He might devour you, but he doesn't have to devour you if you're ready for him. What does it say? Whom resist steadfast in faith. In other words, he's telling you to fight back. That you resist him when he comes to you with fear. Just say, no, I'm not going to fear. Psalm 20, the 23rd Psalm says, I will not fear any evil. I will not fear. I made up my mind that I'm not going to fear. I don't care what's happening. That's a decision that you make. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, or with your faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brotherhood that's in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, here we see that grace again, the God of all grace, who had called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered a while. We hate that word, suffered. Well, I don't like suffer. I don't suffer well. I'm very sensitive. And I don't suffer well. I heard that somewhere else. I'm sensitive. I don't suffer well. That's all of you. You're sensitive. And you don't suffer well. So, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, that's mature, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. In other words, you know, hey, you're going to be okay. Because the grace of God is going to carry you through this hard time. We say, how he's going to do it? I want to know exactly how he's going to do it. Well, I don't know that. But he's going to carry you through a hard time. All through this difficult season, many people might have difficult times. So where do you look is so important during an attack. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen. In other words, he says, don't look at the things that are seen. In other words, the things that you're feeling, the things that we see with your own eyes, you see the circumstances, don't look at those things. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. What is not seen? What is not seen is what the Scripture says that you have. That is victory. That is healing. That is the money you want. Is your family member you want back. That's all the things that you believe in God for. It's not seen yet. It's not here yet. But that's what you look at because you got Scripture for it and you hang on to that to get yourself out of discouragement. So it says when you look for which things that are seen. In other words, what you're experiencing right now is temporary or temporal. So what you're having right now, the trouble you're having, it's not going to always be like that. Okay? It says, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal. In other words, God's word is eternal that says that you have the victory. That's going to always be there. You need to hang on to it, that you're going to live and not die. Hallelujah. That you're going over, not under. That you're the head and not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. That's what's eternal. That's going to be true for you. I mean, it's so easy, you know. I mean, good preaching, you know. Thank God. Oh, I love this preaching, you know. Then you go, oh, the devil shows up. You know. And you're all tough, eh, with all the rest of the Christians praising God. You know, just really stuff now. I mean, and where's that devil? And you're worshiping God with all the rest of the Christians. Where's that devil? Then the devil shows up at your house, 4 o'clock in the morning, kicks you out of bed, throws a whole pile of cares on you. Eh? And you're supposed to do something. He's a bully. I mean, he does that, wakes you up in the middle of the night while you're sleeping, and you stand right up. And then he tells you, you're losing your mind. You're going to lose your job. You know that little scar, little lump we got in there? That's probably cancer. You know? And things are bad, but they're going to get worse. And so if you start meditating on that, then you go down, down, down. You got to stop it right away. And you got to push back and say, no, I believe what the Bible says. He said, I'm going to kill you. Let me tell you something, devil. Didn't I tell you before? You got to talk back to him. You got to talk back. You have to talk back. You got to fight back. The devil, talk to him. He tells you all kinds of stuff. And if you hear negative anything, they say, no, 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 I don't believe that. I believe this. So I just want to just give me a praise break right here. Thank God. Excuse me. Hallelujah. I want to thank God. Hallelujah. I praise God for my healing. My money's coming in. Glory to God. Amen. My children are coming back. My wife is healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got a new job. Even if his job ends, God's going to create a new job for me. Praise God. Amen. That's what you got to talk like. If you just say, eh? And then you phone your best friend, 3 a.m. in the morning. Look on Facebook, see who's all up. Does anybody out there have any problems like me? I'm up, I can't sleep. You say, oh yeah, me too. I haven't been sleeping for days. Oh. Sleepless in Seattle. Okay, so so the tests and trials come to all of us. Did you know David was a man after God's own heart? And yet he encountered multitude of trials and troubles. He was devoted to God. He served God. And he was mistreated and sought after to be killed. Called a criminal when he didn't deserve it. The Bible says here in Acts 13:22, the latter section of Acts 13:22 says that I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God saw this man's heart. No, David wasn't perfect. We're not perfect, but God sees your heart. When he sees your heart, oh, he's for you. You might be weak in some areas, but you have a good heart. People always say, well, I know he's got a lot of trouble, but he's got a good heart. Did he ever say that about you? I know he complains a lot, but he's got a good heart. Well, he sounds rotten to me right now. Ernie? He's fighting in his mind. Drumsticks flying all over the place. Inside joke, Ron. I drove by his house yesterday, and he said, let's drive by Ernie's house. So my wife and I drove by Ernie's house because we went to Waterfront Park last night. We walk about maybe 40 minutes. We drove by his house, and his kids were out like midnight. No, it wasn't midnight. It was about 9 o'clock. It seemed like midnight. I'm coming there with my black car shaded, you know, my shaded windows. And the kids went inside. There's cops outside. I said, yeah, KFC cops. I just want to see if you have you've had any bags there with you. He come out with a drumstick. So David was a man after God's own heart. It doesn't matter how dedicated you are to KFC or whoever. No matter how you're dedicated to God. I don't care how you serve in this church. I don't care how you serve in any church. I don't care how many times you pray and how much Bible you read. You're still going to have trouble. The only way to not have any trouble is to die. And leave this world. Brother Hagin, one time, this lady says, pray for me that I'll never have any more trouble with the devil. You want me to pray that you die? He said, no, never said that. Well, that's the only way you'll never have trouble, is to get out of this world. Because the Bible says the devil, he has a right to be here. He has a lease that's going to expire very soon. And then, you know, we're going up there. When Jesus shows up, we're out of here. When we were a brand new Christian back in the 80s, you know, they said, don't go to school. Don't even buy anything. Don't even work because Jesus show up anytime. So I decided I'm not going to college. But I said, I didn't want Jesus to show up right now because I want to be married. I want to have sex. I don't want to be deprived of that experience. I want a wife. Some people not laughing. Going, he said sex in church. Well, you guys talk about sex all the time and think about it all the time. They say men think about it every so many seconds. See what I'm telling you? But me, I haven't thought about it for a long time. You get a certain age, you know. You just you try your best. My pastor Steve, he's been at it. The kids' service. Well, that's not derogatory. That's just speaking normal. I never said anything bad about it. They don't even know what I'm talking about. What's he talking about, Dad? Let's go back to our service. That's just a break. So David was mistreated by Saul. We'll edit this thing. Don't worry about it. David was mistreated by Saul because of jealousy and fear and so many other things. He was betrayed by his own son Absalom. And David made a lot of mistakes with that, but he was a man after God's own heart. He encountered different trials, temptations, weaknesses. He was called as a young man to be king. He had lots of obstacles to overcome to get to the throne where God wanted them. It wasn't easy for him, but God helped him by his grace throughout his lifetime. He wrote over 70 Psalms in the Old Testament telling of his trials and afflictions, expressing what he did during these times. We have insight into what happened to him. The trials and afflictions and difficulties come to every one of us to discourage us from serving God's purpose for our lives. How should we respond when we have discouragements? Just like Jesus, we need to say, it is written. We shouldn't talk negatively, speak against the word. We should thank him for his word and for his spirit in our lives. And things can change around in the moment of time. For our advantage, as sure as you are here today in this service, things will change for you if you will begin to follow what God says in His Word. Thank God, because the Bible is true. His word is true. Lift up your voices. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hearts to God and say that no weapon formed against me will prosper, Isaiah 54:17 says. You know, in the nighttime, just say, I deliberately do it. And when I'm in bed at night, I wake up maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I lift up my hand and say, Lord, thank you. I make myself do it. I make myself praise God. While I'm driving down the street, going to Walmart or somewhere, going to Canadian Tire, I lift up my hand and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for helping my family. I begin to praise Him and thank Him, to be grateful. Make yourself do it. Do it all the time. You'll experience opposition in this life. No matter who you are, born again, saved or not, whether you're born again, whether you're not born again, you're going to have opposition. Whether you're a native man, native woman, white woman, black person, rich or poor, smart or stupid, or unwise, excuse me, you will experience trials. But, you know, sometimes the foolish people experience more trials because they make mistakes and they don't want to listen. Isaiah 55:11 says, the common English Bible says, so is my word that comes from my mouth. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want and it accomplishes what I intend. God's word in your mouth will work just as much as God's word in His mouth. Say what the word says about you. So, the Amplified of Isaiah 55:11, the Amplified Classical Edition says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. It shall prosper in the thing wherein I send it. Begin to take the word of God, speak the word of God, prophesy the word of God over your body, over your mind, over your finances, over your children. Say, my children are a blessing. My children are going to do great things. Thank God my finances are blessed. Thank God I have a great ministry. Thank God I have a great family. Begin to praise Him. What God doesn't do for you, He's not going to praise Himself for you. You have to praise God. It says in James 1:2, my brother, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Joy is a force that will push back the enemy. You have to begin to practice joy. That means when you don't feel like it, you have to go, ha, ha, ha. Say it. You have no feeling of happiness and joy in your life, but you practice it. Thank God. Count it all joy when you come up against any trial. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a force. The Bible says that David wrote in his time of trouble in Psalm 28:7, he says, the Lord is my strength, my impenetrable shield. My heart trusts with unwavering confidence in Him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Hallelujah. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And my song, I shall thank Him and praise Him. Refuse to quit in a time of discouragement. Say like Psalm 59:17, unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense, the God of my mercy. Psalm 59:17 in the CJB Bible says, as for me, I will sing you of your strength. In the morning, I will sing out loud of your grace, for you are my fortress, a refuge when I am in trouble. 59:17 in the Good News says, I will praise you, my defender, my refuge, my God. My refuge is God, and God who loves me. The Bible says, and as I read in the 1 Samuel 30:6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of all the soul of the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in his God. The story goes like this. In 1 Samuel 30:1-6, New Living Translation. 3 days when David and his men arrived at the home of Ziklag, their home, their hometown, they found the Amalekites had made a raid into Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. That's their home. They carried off the women and the children. That's their wives and their kids and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, imagine that. They wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreel, Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because of all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. They began to talk of stoning him, but David found strength in his Lord. Imagine that, serving God, doing the work of God, and then the devil coming to your house and just trying to destroy you, take your children away from you, take your money, take your stuff, take whatever's precious to you from your house. You know, the devil doesn't care who you are. He's gonna try to come and steal from you. And what are you going to do about it? You're not defenseless. The devil wants to make you think that you're defenseless against him. And it's like, he says, I'm just going to come to your house, and I'm going to destroy you. And you go, no, you have to stand against him. You have to look at the devil in the eye. Say, devil, come here. I want to look at you in the eye. You're not going to have my family. You're not going to have my kids. You're not going to have my son. You're not going to have my child. You're not going to have my stuff. You're not going to have my ministry. You got to look at him. He said, no, you're not going to kill me. No, I'm not going to be sick with this. You got to push back. Or you can just be discouraged. You got to fight like a girl. Fight back. Fight back with how he's trying to destroy you. Let me just read the rest of it, then we're going to close. Here's the result of David encouraging himself. The last section says, but David found strength in his Lord when he encouraged himself in the Lord. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, this is verse 8, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it. David asked him, he asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? Verse 8 says, the Lord said to him, yes, go after them. Surely, you will surely recover everything that was taken from you. How many people know that if you fight back, you'll receive everything back the devil has stolen from you, even the lost days of addiction? All the days that you were down, God will give you back those days. All the days I missed with my kids when they were away out there. I pray I'm winning everything back. Every money, every cent I spent when I was on addictions, I'm taking it all back. My mother was away from me for days on end. I never saw my mother for days on end sometimes because she was addicted, left me alone. My sisters were taken in the 60 scoop. I'm praying it all comes back. Thank God. Believe God. So David, verse 16 says, so David led them. They found the Amalekites spread across the fields, eating and drinking, dancing with joy. The devil might be laughing at you right now, but because of the vast amounts of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and from the land of Judah, or Ziklag, where they were. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them. Throughout that night and the next day until the evening, none of the Amalekites escaped. You will not be bound by no devil. The Bible says, verse 18, David got back everything. Everybody say this, I'm getting back everything. Come on, say it. Say, I'm getting back everything. So David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, or the devil has taken. He rescued his two wives. You need to rescue your family and not quit. Verse 19, nothing was missing. Everybody say, nothing was missing. Come on, say, nothing was missing. Come on, harder than that. So nothing was missing. Yes, use your outside voice. It's okay to do that right now. Great or small, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken away. David brought back everything. My kids were using drugs and said, no, devil, I'm taking them back. You can't take them. Your mother has to say that. Or you need to say that to yourself. When your kid's out there doing stuff, you might not have kids right now. But you have to tell the devil, no, you might have to fight for a while. Not just one time. I'm taking it back. How come it's not working? Yeah, because you're not fighting. You don't just throw one punch. Okay, I won the battle. You might have to be throwing a punch for a while. Nothing was missing, verse 19. So what's the result? Everybody stand up. What's the result of encouraging yourself in the Lord? Well, you will win in the end. The story is not over in your life, my friend. The story is not over in your life. The devil might be laughing right now. He's throwing a few licks at you. But you're going to come on top. He may attack you, but it's going to be short-lived. Like David, by God's grace, by God's mercy, you'll recover all that the enemy has stolen from you if you won't give up. Don't give up. He will not escape with all your property. You'll win back your family, your relationship. God. That was me. Cut myself off. That's all, folks. It's all, folks. Let's go ahead and thank Him. Father, I want to thank You in the name of Jesus. By faith, we declare we got it all back. Come on, lift your hands up. Come on, lift your voices up and thank Him. Thank Him like You should. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Thank You, Father, that we won every battle. We're taking it back. We're not going to let Him steal from us. We're not going to just sit here and cry and be discouraged. No, we're going to force our way and begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord and say what the Lord says about us, that we win. Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Make a joyful noise. Say, hoo, hoo, hoo. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, can I pray for you? Come here. I want to pray for you. I just feel impressed in my spirit to pray for you. I don't know what your name is, where you come from, but I know the Lord has a plan for you. He's been planning some things for a long, long time that's going to unfold. And there's been a lot of stuff that's coming your way. You can just turn this way. You don't have to look at them. There's been stuff that's been happening in your life that you don't understand. You don't know what to do and where to turn. I want to tell you, God has a way that no one else knew about. He's already made provision for you. Provision. Can you say provision? He's got a way for you, a way out. No matter what happens in your life, from now on, I want you to realize that God already made a plan for you. And He's covered you. And there's been prayer went out over you. And that's why you're here right now. It's a brand new start. I know He's trying to discourage you, but don't give up. You fall down, you get back up again. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. What's your name?
Delaney.
Delaney, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I lay my hand on you in faith, knowing to infuse the strength of God, to cause the strength of God to flow out of your innermost being. You're going to learn to be a praiser. You're going to be a learner, be a giver. And never, I see relentless in you. The word relentless in you. God is infusing you with inner strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Bless you for getting up. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Glory to God. Give her a great hand. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to see you here. Second service. Come on back. We're going to be here again next week. Same time, same place. Amen. Bless you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.